This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yo, been listening since day one. Get chicks since day none. I mean, I ain't really had shit to do since Jake and the meal was done. Not gonna lie, I might have had the tear in my eye. I still get with chicks though. No, that ain't the issue. I learned that shit from the pinch, ho. I appreciate all of the info. For that time, I made you an intro. That was the time I didn't do well. But now I'm here like Shmuel. But I'm in a sticky situation as well. And I just don't know who to tell. I was hoping you could offer me some kind of help. I'm stuck in the first world country's hell.
If I were you, what you know about? If I were you, take a mirror and house. I said, if I were you, if you be in doubt. If I were you, guess who's in the house? It's if I were you, what you know about? If I were you, take a mirror and house. I said, if I were you, if you be in doubt.
That was Aus.
Aus.
Of course. Aus. You guys want to take guesses on how to spell Aus?
No.
Okay, because you're halfway there. Emily Gordon.
Hi.
Let me introduce you right off the bat.
That was a great theme song.
Yeah, right?
I really liked it a lot.
It sounds like deep Aus.
Yeah.
It was very deep Aus. Where is that guy from? Because how do I get that accent?
Oddly enough, he just says he's from the UK.
The Netherlands. He has to be from the Netherlands.
He feels German. Have you guys heard Speak the Hungarian Rapper?
No.
Well, everybody at home listening to this and you guys afterwards, you're going to have to Google that.
Speak the Hungarian.
It's a rapper who's Hungarian and his backing musical group, and they do a song about war where he references 9/11, Tupac, a million things, and it is just a treasure. It is a treasure to behold. This guy sounds better than that. This guy's awesome.
This guy's Aus. A-U-W-S.
That is not how I spelled it.
Yeah.
A-U-W-S.
Yeah.
No E either.
Pronounced like house without the H, he says.
So okay.
Oh, he's on YouTube, Aus94, and SoundCloud, Aus Al Gabori.
Aus90, he couldn't just get Aus on YouTube?
I guess
spelled
not.
Spelled like that? That
get
was
Aus.
Already taken?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I want to watch him rap. I want to see what his face looks like.
Yeah, we
well,
go to
you
a
can
concert.
If you go to his YouTube channel.
I will.
Or what if we go to the UK? What if we go to a show?
Should we just go to the UK right now?
Wherever he recorded that, like a dingy basement somewhere.
I feel like we should have that sound effect board where we can, like, us, like, walking, getting into a car.
Yeah.
The sound
of a flight.
Yeah.
Set to the song.
Hi, we're in the UK now.
Do, 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 do.
Knock, knock, knock. Aus?
Are you in the house?
Is Aus in the house? Oh, it's perfect. That's what he'll say when he's on stage.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Can we be his publicist?
Aus, if you're listening. At the very least, Emily wants to be your publicist.
No, you guys are coming with me or I'm not doing it.
It's a trifecta. So, Emily, how do our fans know you? Or maybe if they don't, who are you? Why are you here?
Why am I here? I am a writer and a stand-up producer. Those are my main two jams.
The big two.
I produce a show called The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail.
Heard of it?
It's a live stand-up show in LA that's also a TV series for Comedy Central. We've done two seasons so far, and I'm in that because we show backstage, so that's fun for me.
That's cool.
And then I write a bunch of stuff all over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just wrote a book.
Whoa.
Which is on the internet now.
Yeah. Well, no, not the whole thing. Right. Gotta buy it. But you can order it. Yes. It's available for pre-order now. Oh, it'll be out in 2 days.
What's the deal with the book?
The book is like a self-help guide. That's funny, but like not like a joke self-help guide. It actually is like a genuine self-help guide. But it is also mixed with like terrible stories from my childhood and my teenage years and my now years, all of my years, essentially.
All of the years.
Because there's a lot to go around. So it's like half memoir, half self-help. And it's called Super You.
What was the worst year you had?
Oh my God, what there's so year? Many.
Yeah, the most terrible.
What was the worst year?
I think there were
really
some...
deep you don't
have to
question.
Go. You don't have that to go into any detail other than just the year.
I think maybe like middle school years were pretty rough in general. And then like early 20s years, not so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple in there that were not amazing, but... middle school and then high school, I kind of started figuring stuff out a little bit and I was super angry, but I was like, I had become like a goth kid. So then I was I had like a racket going.
Yeah.
But before I figured that out, I was just this like amorphous blob that was like miserable all the time. So that was pretty bad.
Did you have braces?
No, I didn't have braces, but I was overweight and I was just like a sad little creature.
Yeah. You're in eighth grade. I had braces, acne, and I was way too thin. Just like not comfortable in any facet of anything. I still showered with a bathing suit on. I was just...
Oh, what? So cute. Like in Weird Science.
I showered with a bathing suit on until I was like 14.
Why?
At your home or at school?
At my house.
You were never nude.
I was. Well, there were so many people in my family, and there were no locks on any of the bathrooms.
Oh.
So it was like I still, as my family, I could have been naked. I don't know why. I was just...
Is it just an Israeli thing? Because my family was like, if I'm showering, my mom's coming in, taking the laundry out. Is that weird or is that normal? Yeah.
That's weird.
That's weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, that's weird?
Yeah, you might be so...
Brothers
so...
walking in, peeing while I'm taking a...
Yeah. I don't think it's... Showering. I mean, I don't think that's that... I had sisters, so...
That's weird. The gender.
If there's like, if there's male, you had like all brothers. I think that's totally normal.
I
could walk in while my brother showering. But like if the shower's going, I never knew who was in there.
So you didn't want to walk in. And
I wasn't trying to walk in on my sisters in the shower.
I didn't want that confusing thing happening.
No, I didn't want that on my brain for the rest of my life.
What if you see something good?
Oh, God.
You don't want that?
No.
I had a roommate, a female roommate once, and she would use the toilet while I was in the shower. Like she would poop while I was showering.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a different level of intimate. I wouldn't be into that because it would smell.
You can smell it.
Yeah.
That person just got married. So I pulled up a photo of that action happening because my third roommate, the door was open. So he like took a photo because he was having such a fun time.
She also took a shit with the door open.
Yeah. It was like some,
who is
I don't
this
know.
Person?
Well, camp, I did that too. It's I don't college. Know. It was college. It was camp. Okay. It was, everything was open.
Yeah.
No, I like I can say that, but also I never did that. So it's kind of weird.
I didn't do that. And I still like I'm married now and like we have a strict like no peeing in front of each other, none of that stuff. Yeah. Like
I guess I would pee in front of my, but like pooping in front of somebody, it's like I want to still be attracted
exactly.
to that person.
That's why we do it. That's why we don't even pee in front of each other, because like we want to keep the magic, a little bit of the magic alive.
Mm. Totally.
As much as possible.
I respect that a lot.
And some people can still do that while peeing in front of each other. I don't think that my husband and I can. We're
I've
done.
I've had girlfriends in the past who have like, we've pooped in front of each other and it like, it really ruins it a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't want to have sex with somebody you just watched shit.
Just come out of their buttholes. Yeah. I don't even put deodorant on in front of my husband.
Really?
I'm like, very romantic. Like keep it like,
This is sort of an intimate
photo.
But it's kind of, it's funny, right?
I mean, you're not taking a shower right there.
What's happening with you?
I was taking a bath, or I crouched down like I was taking a bath.
A shame bath. It looks like you're taking. You look ashamed of yourself.
I was ashamed.
It's a very good booty tooch you've got going. You really,
what's a booty tooch?
You pop that hip up so it looks like it's a nice shape. You created good angles for yourself in that photo. She could do better.
Yeah.
But you did great.
What gives you the right to write a self-help book? Where do you get off?
You're
a comedy producer.
Before I did any of this stuff, I have a master's in couples and family therapy, and I was a practicing therapist for about 6.5 years.
So that's the real thing.
That's the real
practicing
thing.
Masters. You learned.
Oh, I learned.
You know.
You are
I
a
got
master.
Licensed. I so, don't know that I'm a master.
You are. Yeah, I think you are the master as it stands right now.
Uh-oh. Not good.
So Jake and I have an advice podcast. We don't have any of that stuff. We don't have credentials. We don't have experience.
You
All
guys
we
should
have
probably
is,
stop then.
Right. Is it? Is
well,
this
I have
illegal?
A BFA.
Our first question is this illegal?
I have a BFA.
Am I under arrest?
and that's the thing. Like, I don't even know that. I think what separates therapists, like, people are always asking me for my advice, but most of my advice comes from just me being a person in the world and having gone through a bunch of bullshit. And then, for that, you're completely, totally qualified.
You got that.
And then I also have some book learning on top of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Book learning to supplement the real life learning seems like that's where it's at.
That's the key. So we usually get questions that are a little lighthearted, and then we're like, maybe we should choose some real questions that we wouldn't answer.
We want to just make sure that you don't have fun on the podcast.
I'm so scared right now.
I mean, they're not that dark, but it's just stuff they're like, oh, I don't know how I would answer that.
Yeah, so okay.
We've got a professional in our midst. I feel like we should
And I will say, not
them.
Practicing now. Everybody needs to be aware of
that. Is that a thing, though? Like, are you out of practice? Do you get rusty with your...
I probably am rusty with, like, sitting down across from a person and being like, getting them to, like, tell me about their problems. Oh. But that's when I started freelance writing. I was only writing, like, mental health stuff and, like, advice columns and stuff like that. So that's how to my parents, like, hey, you remember that master's degree I spent all my time and all my money on? This is what I'm using it for. I have an advice column on Tumblr.
But it's a good advice column. I read it sometimes.
Oh,
I'm like,
thank you.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Oh, well, I appreciate
what is
it.
What is the URL?
That one's called emilyvgordon.tumblr.com, and the Tumblr is called Do You Think You're Pretty?
Oh, that's good.
Which is what the origin story of that is, that I was in middle school waiting outside for my parents to pick me up along with one of the most popular girls in my middle school. And she stared at me.
What was her name? Did she have a cool name?
I'm not going to say her name. Let's say it was like Bethany.
Oh, classic. Well,
yeah. She had like mall bangs because this was the 80s. Gorgeous, but also like trashy kind of because it's North Carolina. And she stared at me for like 30 seconds and then went, do you think you're pretty? And I was like, oh, I don't. My brain like melted out of my ears.
What can you say to that?
There's no good answer. I'm still trying to figure out that answer. And it stuck with me for all of these years. What a mean thing to say.
I wonder if she remembers saying it.
No.
No way.
She doesn't even slightly remember saying it.
I wonder what she's doing now.
Oh, I know what she's doing now. It's not great.
She's the CFO of a Fortune 500
company.
She's
not super happy. I try not to take joy from that, but every once in a while I do.
You should comment that on her Facebook page someday.
I think you're pretty. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, that's where the name of my Tumblr comes from.
That's awesome. Are you glad in retrospect that somebody did that to you one day?
Sure. All these things. It's all origin story stuff, right?
Yeah.
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 It's all makes you who you are. It's
beautiful.
So this is a real email from a real person. We should give, like you said, you didn't want to out that person. Do you have a fake name to give this person just to preserve?
Ronaldo.
Whoa.
She I'm was really itching.
Coming Soccer up. Player. Ronaldo writes, hey guys, I've been dating this amazing girl for the last 6 months. We met on Tinder, thanks Jake, and have been inseparable ever since. She came at just the right time as I had a breakup just a few months before I met her, and I guess you'd have to call her quote-unquote the rebound. But it wasn't just about sex or anything. I really do love her. She's smart, funny, dorky, and the sweetest girl I've ever met. Everyone loves us as a couple because we're so similar, and it really seems like we belong together. Now, here's the problem.
She's a lion.
Sorry. I've been feeling unsatisfied for a while now. I don't love her like I used to. She's one of my best friends, and I know that I love her, but I don't think that I'm in love with her. We're young, so this was always meant to be just a fling. She really depends on me, so I'm afraid of what will happen if I break up with her. She's crazy in love with me, and that's the problem. She has a history of depression and hurting herself, and I could never forgive her if she hurt herself because of me. She lives with her dad, and I live with my parents. She doesn't have a good thing going at home. Her parents are divorced, and her dad can be a prick, and her stepmom and her stepsister can be worse. She doesn't go to college and just goes to work. She's had a really rough life. She's almost lived in poverty for most of her life. I love her so much, and I hate feeling this way. Of course, I want us to stay friends, but I know that never happens. I just want out of this relationship, but it just makes me feel like a piece of shit. It might just be that this is not the right time, but I'm not sure if it will ever be the right time. I just want to be a good guy. Please, please, please help me, love Ronaldo. A lot of stuff.
Split personality, I think.
I feel like there were three distinct parts to this. The first part was, amazing girl, I love her so much. Second part was, I do not like this girl.
Yeah.
Third part was, this girl's sob story.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I will say that the things that men do to because they want to be nice guys are often some of the most damaging things you can do to women.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
They're
for
like,
example.
Oh, I want to be a good guy and I want to say, I want to like, I've got to be like the nicest guy and like, I don't want to hurt her. But in not hurting her, you're with someone you actively resent. And that hurts someone way worse.
Oh.
Like, that's way more damaging.
I also think there's some sort of weird complex that a guy, or maybe just people in general, but someone has to be like, I am your source of happiness.
Exactly.
You are nothing without me.
Exactly.
So if I go away, your world crumbles
do.
And you die. You're a little baby.
Yes.
That's not true.
Yes.
Like, this girl existed and did fine up until 6 months ago when they met. And now that you're in a bad relationship, you think, what?
Do you think this is somehow good for her mental health, that you're with her when you actively don't want to be with her? And I'm sure she can feel that and kind of sense that.
Right. So all the things she doesn't have going for her, like her poverty and work situation, now she also has a boyfriend who dislikes her.
Yeah.
He doesn't dislike her, though. He's just, you know, like, he's no longer in... He loves her, but he's not in
love
with her.
He's staying with her out of pity. It's not love.
Right.
God, you're good. You're good. You're good. Taking the words right out of my mouth. You're very good. I don't
That's the highest compliment
when,
of all.
When guys put ladies on pedestals and are like, well, this little creature I've got to take care of her and she doesn't have anything without... She'll be fine. I promise you. I don't know this girl.
But you don't think she'll be sad as when it happens?
Of course she'll be sad. But you know what she can handle? Sadness. She's a grown-ass woman.
Whoa.
Grown-ass ladies can handle being sad for a little bit. You staying with someone because you're afraid that they'll be bummed when you break up with them is not enough of a reason to stay with them. It's not fair to her. Not fair to you. She'll be bummed. Anybody who gets dumped, anybody who goes through a breakup will be bummed. It's okay to be bummed. And then you right. can kind of bounce back from it and you can kind of learn from it and move on. She's grown up enough to do that. I don't know her, but if she's like every other human on the planet, she's grown up enough to do that.
But I feel like this is a very common thing is I don't want to break up because I'm going to quote unquote be the bad person.
Yes.
I don't want to be like, oh, I'm hurting this thing that I care about a lot.
Yeah.
And then you break up with them and then you can't console them, can you? You can't be the one
no.
to console them.
Because
so then do you have to be like a meanie and be like, sorry, we're broken up. Go find help somewhere else.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I mean, that's what breakups are. Like, why on earth do you feel the need to be the sun and moon and stars for someone? Like, this happens all the time. Breakups happen all the time. For the most part, every relationship you're in will end up ending.
Oh.
And just because, I mean, not mine, of course, because I'm married very happily. But
he is my sun, moon, and stars, and I am his.
He is my soulmate, and I love him forever. And, but I just, like, why are you... pity staying with her. Like, she's a tiny little fragile chick that can't handle.
So why is he? What's the answer to that?
Because I also feel like a lot of guys want to be that for women. They want to be.
I think it comes from a good place, but it's a misinformed
place.
It's totally misinformed.
Yes.
I had a girl the first time this happened. I was like trying to break up with someone, but I was like dragging my feet. I was like, I don't want to be an asshole. We were together for a long time. And one day she just like called me out on it. She's like, if you want to break up with me, do it. I can handle it. I know you think that I can't.
Her.
Yeah, she was really cool.
And then you're like, now I don't want to.
And I was like,
because that was so
okay.
cool.
She basically just, she was just like, do it. I dare you. Like the bad guy in a movie, just being like, pull the trigger.
Yeah, pointing the gun at your
forehead.
Like
she put the gun. Yes, exactly.
And it was like, I didn't have this. It wasn't her that didn't have the strength to survive the breakup. It was me that didn't have the strength to do it.
To inflict any kind of harm on anyone, but that's
right.
part of what being in life is that sometimes you're the one hurting another person and you don't someone you care about, and sometimes you're the one being hurt by someone that you care about.
Right.
It's just how the world works, and it's a bummer, but you're like, I think guys are often given this message that they're supposed to be like a prince to the
right.
woman that
a
they're
protector.
Dating, a protector. And so part of what they're protecting the woman from is their feelings.
Right.
Which aren't love. They're like, I have to protect her from the fact that I don't like her. Like, that's not part of the deal. Like, she can handle that. What she can't handle
is... And it's ultimately more helpful towards
so
everybody's, like, personal growth.
Yeah.
To... You know what Ingrid Michaelson says?
Of course. We all know what Ingrid Michaelson
Every
says.
Every broken heart in the world still beats. It's a pretty beautiful lyric, actually.
And she's Swedish.
And you should hear her sing it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you're not like a heartless creature if you break up with someone because you don't want to be with them. To me, it's more heartless to stay with someone that you don't want to be with. Ultimately,
how many
it comes out.
Your advice Tumblr has, people can ask you questions.
Yes.
How many questions are about Breaking up is hard, and I don't know how to do it.
Almost all of them. A lot of them, yeah.
It's a common thing.
Everybody wants permission from someone else to do a breakup because they want to be absolved of feeling like a bad guy. And bad girl, that is genderless. Like, yeah. Everybody wants to be absolved of feeling like a bad person. But it doesn't make you a bad person to hurt someone if you're doing it for the right reasons. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That right. sounds bad.
Like, is it almost like the sadness you're giving them isn't necessarily negative?
Yeah.
Like, you're giving them a new emotion, sadness. Yeah. And you've given them happiness, and now you can give them anger, and it's just
it's
part
a rainbow.
Of all being human.
Relationships change. That's what they do. Like, and not all of them are positive changes, but they end up, you don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you. Like,
right. If this girl found out, like, hey, your boyfriend is with you because he thinks you can't handle being alone, do you want to be with him?
Right.
Oh, no, I don't.
Let's send her that email.
Oh, God. Just forward it to her.
We should start being vigilante superheroes like
that. We don't
need
to be cruel. We don't need to be cruel.
But we do need to be cool.
Yep. Be cool, not cruel.
It's a good slogan, actually.
I wonder.
House, can you turn that into a song?
House, if you're out the house there, do you think. This is a completely metaphorical, not really metaphorical, but a question that can't be answered. Of all the breakups in America this year, what percentage is the guy breaking up with the girl and the girl breaking up with the guy?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do you think it's 50-50?
I think it is, right?
I don't know.
Because that question could have just as easily
exactly
come from 50-50. A girl.
It's probably close, but you know.
I mean, it can be if it's an even amount of people. Now, let's say...
what are the chances, though?
What are the chances?
Oh, 50, my God.
50? I go 42, I guess exactly. Whatever the other of that is.
Yeah. But you know, of the questions you receive, you're not getting them mostly from dudes or dudettes.
It's a pretty equal split. And sometimes I don't even know, which I think is awesome too, because I find when I'm reading the questions and there's no gender mention, I'll put on it whatever I'm thinking. Then I have to back away and be like, oh, this could be a dude or a lady. I have no concept. Could be straight relationship, could be gay one. I have no way of knowing.
Well, I got one from a lady for sure.
Let's do this.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
We did pretty well in that personal.
Yeah,
that's good.
Nailed that. Yeah.
Do you have a fake lady name?
Just Ronaldo.
Cristela.
Which one?
Cristela.
Cristela's good.
Yeah, I like Cristela.
Hey guys, so I'm in quite the predicament. My boyfriend and I have been dating for about a month now, and at first I was sort of sexually attracted to him, but now I'm becoming grossed out by him. For example, his neck hair really freaks me out, and his moobs make me think that I'm cuddling with an overweight 12-year-old. Man boobs.
Got it.
Am I just being a shallow piece of shit? He has a great personality, but I can't see myself ever being with him sexually, which is kind of a big deal for him. And it's really becoming harder to put off sex. Should I break up with him? I think he should be with someone who can willingly be with him sexually. If so, what should I tell him my reason is? I think I might be gay, so I could just tell him that. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Again, with a turn. There's twisty turnies on these. Yeah.
These are all written by M. Night Shyamalan.
Wow.
Also, the year is 1600.
Is it shallow?
It's a monster.
Is it shallow to
break up with someone
because you're not sexually attracted to them?
I don't think so. I think it's also if it's been a month, to me, that's not a very long period of time.
You don't really need to construct a super thought out reason. If it's only been a month, I feel like you just say, hey, this
is not
working out for me.
I don't think it's necessary to look a human being in the eye and be like, I'm breaking up with you because your man boobs make me feel disgusted.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason.
Yeah. Physical attraction or your physical appearance isn't something you can really work on, I guess a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't want an exit interview where somebody tells me I'm ugly.
Exactly, yeah. And there's somebody who will be attracted to this guy. And I'm also wondering, were you sexually attracted to him at first and somehow it went away?
She said sort of. So it seemed like she was giving it a try and then it tipped in the no.
And I feel like sometimes when you're with someone who has a great personality, you'll start to like love the things about them that maybe would have grossed you out before in other people.
Yeah.
But it also goes the other way that once you notice something.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I've found I've done in relationships. I'm with a guy. I can tell it's not like, it's not great. It's not right. There's something.
Sorry, names.
About
just what's the guy? Just
Jack.
Okay, great.
Ronaldo. No. It's not going right. And then I'll find something like in a very Seinfeldian manner.
Yeah.
And be like, Crystal, like, just like, that's the thing. Yeah. He's got back hair. Ugh, fuck that shit. I can't handle back hair.
Yeah.
And then that becomes the world is like that guy's back hair. When really it's about like, we're just not compatible. I might be gay. There's a bunch of things going on.
Yeah.
But I say it's about that because it's the easiest, most concrete thing.
Right. Something that you can latch onto and explain to your friends. And
exactly.
Stuff.
Like, and it's way funnier.
I don't like him. He has too much neck hair. He has man boobs.
Right. There was a guy I dated that thought it was okay to just fart it, like, and like at like cocktail parties, like did not like loudly and like thought it was just like a cool, fun thing to do. And I was like,
this dude sounds awesome.
Right? And it was not just that. It was that we were incompatible in a million different ways. Sure. But it's so much funnier and so much better to tell your friends, like, well, this guy fucking farted at every, and thought it was fine to fart in like business meetings. But it's not really
borderline
a
mirror, actually.
Yeah. I will fart.
Yeah?
I'm a farter.
You're a farter?
Do you fart in front of your husband?
We don't. Isn't that crazy?
No farting either.
No.
It
is a little nuts. We've
You're holding it in.
We excuse ourselves. We don't need to get super into all the details, but yeah, it's just like one of us will excuse ourselves and be like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and that's probably what's going on.
Do you wish the fart gates were to open?
No, I'm fine with it.
You're fine with it. Yeah, fart exactly.
Yeah. And I think that is different for everybody. And so I have no qualms with people that do fart and couples that do.
The way I've always done it is like fart gates halfway open,
a jar.
If I farted as much as I always fart in front of like a significant
terrifying
other, yeah,
they'd run
they wouldn't run, they would,
when they
would,
first come
they'd
out they're like
back.
Kind of cute, it's like, oh, we're all tooting here, this is nice. And then like I just have like loud, smelly, wet sounding farts.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to have that in front of somebody.
Do the ladies reciprocate the farting?
Nobody farts as much as I do, except for you, I think.
And that's why you guys are meant for each other.
Yeah.
That's true. Amir's my soulmate and I will die alone.
Like, if it happens in our house, it's not like a huge deal, but like, and I was like, at some point this will probably change, but it's been like 8 years now.
Yeah, at this
and it
point.
Hasn't. Yeah. I think we got it locked in. We're all right.
Yeah. 8 years makes a habit.
Right? That's what they say. The 8 year itch or whatever.
So you say, it is not shallow to break up with someone because you're not sexually attracted to them.
It's a huge part of a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also,
if you might be gay, figure that out.
If you're not sexually attracted to him, not because he's unattractive, but because he doesn't have a vagina.
Yeah, then get in there. Give that a try.
Do you owe somebody an excuse?
What do you mean?
I'm breaking up with you. Oh. Do I have to tell you why?
Why? Why are you breaking up with me?
Yeah.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
See, I think... I don't think you owe them anything. I think the kind thing to do is to give some closure, but closure comes within you. It doesn't come from another person, really, ultimately. We want to believe that someone is like, here is your key to the city. But really, it's like on us to kind of get the closure. But I think it's a kind thing to do, even if it's a little bit of a massaged truth.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's also the best way to, because the danger in saying like, Why are you breaking up with me? Well, I don't really like your neck hair and I don't like your man boobs. I'll go to the gym and I'll shave.
And then I fixed it. Yes.
Like, you don't want the problem to be fixable. If you're saying like, why are you breaking up with me? I think the best thing to do is to always be like, I'm not emotionally invested in this and I don't see myself getting there.
Right. Yeah.
And then what does somebody say to that?
Yeah, it has to be an unfixable problem. And then it's also, it helps that if it's on you. It's not like, oh, it's nothing. Right. But then that's the whole,
that's why,
it's
like,
not you, it's me.
Yeah, well, that's the cliche, rough. And you never want to say it's not you, it's me. But you can put it on yourself. And
But isn't everything both them and you? Like, they're one
it's
way
the
and you're reacting.
I always, especially when working with couples, you think of, it's three things in the room. It's the one person, the second person, and then the relationship between them is a third thing. It's like its own, it's like its own existence. It has like a pulse. It like has ways that it works. Like, it's a different
beast. I love
beast.
That visual. That's cool.
And so you have two people, but you also have this thing they created. It's almost like a baby that they've made, which is how they relate to each other.
A little shadow figure in the back.
So I think it is always both people in some ways.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's like, well, you get 40% like an insurance after an accident. Like, you have 40% of the blame and you have 60%. Like, ultimately, those numbers don't matter. But yeah, if it's like, the point is, this isn't going to work. Like, that's always like, this isn't going to work. I'm sorry. Sucks.
That's the closure.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
You don't have to know exactly why. It just is.
And I've definitely had those things where I've been dumped and then like, just like frantically being like, I can face it.
I can change.
Do you really want to be with someone that you're having to like beg to come back to you? That's like, right. I've gotten them to come back. And then when they did, I'm like, oh, this feels bad too. It's bad all the way. What you want is a time machine to go back to before this felt bad. That's what you want. And you can't have that. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
And you can't have a time machine. Breaking up is the next best thing. It's sort of like a time machine to the future.
Ooh. Like the Doctor Who. You kids like Doctor Who?
Yeah, totally.
Doctor Whom?
All right. We're going to take a break. Okay. Just a real quick one to thank a few sponsors, but then we'll be right back if you promise not to leave.
So you can,
we can borrow your brain for some more wisdom. Cool. We'll be back with more Emily right after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other. And then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay, quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. Rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we're back.
All right.
What a great ad that was.
I like the ad. Didn't you like the ad? The ads were good. I like that specific ad specifically. Mm-hmm. We haven't recorded it, by the time I'm talking, but I'm sure it will be very good.
Time machine.
When, yeah. when we have aired it, machine. This episode, it will hopefully have been recorded.
Yeah, and it will have been good.
Just like dead air for 90 seconds, and then we're back. And we're like, how great was that ad?
Emily, what's your podcast?
Oh, yes, I have a podcast. I didn't even mention that. I have a podcast called The Indoor Kids that's about video games, but it's also about basically anything that keeps you indoors. So movies, TV shows, books.
Board games.
Yeah, board games. We just went to a board game convention in Indiana. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was super fun, in fact. It was just like an airplane hangar with nothing but like conference tables and then just...
Oh, that actually sounds really dope.
Shit tons of people playing games all day long.
Was it in Indianapolis?
Indianapolis, yeah.
Indianapolis.
It's called Gen Con. Super fun. Amazing.
Cool. Did you record there?
We ended up... We recorded from like the floor as we were walking around, but we didn't like do like a live show there.
Right.
But I did get a bunch of Legend of Zelda jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, shit.
I do like a good jigsaw puzzle. It's great. There's nothing more if you're like an anxious human being.
Oh, than doing a puzzle.
Oh, man. It slows me down way more than like video games or anything else these days. It's like a great... It just feels like
it's very zen. It's the equivalent of that little rake on the sand.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah, getting a piece. Nothing feels better than getting a piece.
Oh, and having it like make that little noise when it snaps.
Nothing
in.
Zens me out about doing a puzzle. I get so amped. I'm like, all right, get all the pieces. All right, all the corners here. We need to do the outlet. Don't look at the box. Don't look at the box, Grandma.
You look at me,
cheater.
Let's do it upside down. Let's do it upside down and flip it around at the end.
Snorting cocaine.
Do like extreme jigsaw puzzling. Yeah, just doing coke the entire time.
You can get a piece.
But our friends Jeff and Pat have been in a bunch of episodes of your show.
Yes, they have.
So if you're listening and you want to hear more of Emily and some of Jeff and Pat, you can check out those episodes.
And Kumail Nanjiani, who is my co-host.
Oh, right.
People Kumail. Have heard of that guy for the most part.
Kumail was in some of our videos.
Yes, he was.
Some of the really early videos.
Back in the day.
I was watching the ones that Thomas Middleditch did with you guys. Yeah, because I don't know how it came up, but he was talking to me about it. Oh, he said people still come up to him all the time and call him dudes. He's like, it's a blessing and a curse.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I love it. I love those videos. But he's like, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
But it's still quite popular. And so I went back and watched them, and they're hilarious.
He's so funny. He's so funny.
He's tremendous.
I think in those scripts we just wrote, like, in the second one for sure, it was like a page and a half for us and then like one little bold sentence. Thomas improvises.
Yeah, he did like auditions.
And he will.
For like half an hour.
Great.
It was just him in a wool sweater in a hot office doing characters for half an hour.
I was laughing so hard.
Because then I watched the outtakes too. I think you have outtakes up.
Yeah, for the third one.
Where he like doesn't know what a DVD is.
Yeah.
So funny.
And it's just us laughing and he's just like, guys, come on.
Oh, I love that the world is like waking up to how genius he is. Like, he's so genius. And so is Kumail, my husband. He was great in the videos
too. Fine too. But
Kumail's
Thomas.
Great. Yeah. Thomas. Yeah.
You should marry Thomas.
No.
I would never. Could never.
Could never. I'm not into white guys.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right, cool. And your book?
Super You. Yes.
Available on Amazon.
Release your inner superhero. And at your local bookstore, my hope is my mom found it at Barnes & Noble today.
That's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing.
They took a picture of themselves having lunch with my book sitting between them. And I don't know if you have this experience
with your mom, but like my parents and my grandparents could never really understand like a digital success.
What you
like,
do.
I couldn't be like, hey, this video has 500,000 views. And my mom would be like, oh, cool. And
yes.
But like when there was a physical anything, like there was me and Amir were like in a USA Today one time and my mom was like, "This, you guys made it. This is amazing."
That's true. I do feel like older people want like a tangible
physical thing for sure. If we had a book in a store, my mom would fucking lose her shit.
Yeah.
Right. And then if that book was written by 1% of the people that listen to our podcast, it would be a huge success.
Uh-huh.
But our parents would love it so much more than this show or anything we've ever done.
It's true.
What was I going to say? Oh, is there an audio version of your book?
There is. There's both.
Do you read it?
I do. Wow. I did. It was a very long process.
How long did that take?
It took me 4 full days.
Wow.
And And when I got the, they sent me a bunch of the CDs, which I'm like, no one's going to order a CD. It's like, and it's over six CDs. It's 9.5 hours. That's,
is it a digital thing that I can download and listen to?
It's also on Audible. As
that's
well.
Awesome. That's what people should
that's
do.
That's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which to me, because I like reading and I'm not good at like listening to books. So I keep in like, oh yeah, yeah. You don't have to do that though. But everyone's like, no, that's the thing we love. Yeah. So it's on Audible.
Especially if they're listening to podcasts. Yeah, yeah. We all like that stuff.
Exactly. And it's me. And I kept being like, when I was doing the reading, I was like, well, I may kind of like go off and like do little asides, and they were like, no, you're gonna read what's on the page. And I was like, but Aziz and Tina Fey. And they were like, you're not Aziz and you're not Tina Fey. And I was like, okay. So I had to read it word for word, and nothing makes you feel weirder about yourself than like reading an entire thing.
Right,
you wrote.
Have to be like editing a little bit as you're doing, like, oh shit, I should have,
exactly,
right, this would have been perfect
the whole time, and you're just in a little tiny room by yourself with like a guy super far away from you going, do that again. And you're like, oh gosh, it was a great experience, but it was like, it was very interesting.
How do I not get his job?
Right.
You have to stop recording podcasts right now.
Shit,
you're on track.
That's gateway drug.
All right, cool, good. Good, then it's agreed. You want to answer some more questions?
Let's do it.
Another lady.
Her name is Cersei.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like actually how guessed you... correctly.
We're making a story.
Yeah.
So, hey guys, and Emily. So my boyfriend and I are both in college, and we've been dating each other for a year and a half now. We've recently started sexting, and he keeps asking me to tell him my, quote, naughtiest fantasy. I don't really have one, so I asked him what his was, and he immediately started talking in great detail about my roommate catching us having sex and then joining us. This makes me feel really uncomfortable because I don't like thinking about her like that. I feel like I wouldn't want my roommate and her boyfriend including me in their sexting, and I'm also afraid he might have a thing for my roommate. Should I be worried, and should I say something? Ooh. or is this just some sort of fantasy that I should let him play out? Thanks so much. Love, Cersei.
Interesting.
Yeah. I certainly have an opinion, but I don't know.
I want to hear what
right
your opinion
one.
Is first.
I think that's a little fucked up.
That's ballsy for the guy to suggest.
Just dude, immediately.
I know, like, when I'm telling somebody my fantasy, when somebody asks my fantasy, like, I know that they will want to do something to make it come true.
That's why you tell someone.
Right.
Yeah. But he's the one who brought it up. He's like, what's your fantasy? She's like, I guess right. I don't have one. He's like, well, mine's you and your roommate.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So he's saying that knowing that, like,
he's testing the waters.
Yeah, it's manipulative is what it is. So, like, I could be like, hey, my fantasy is like you in a Princess Leia costume. And that would happen. Mm-hmm. Like, they would do something.
That's a one-on-one thing. Yeah.
Right. But, and then to say, like, it's you and Cameron Diaz, and that's like sort of unattainable, and you could entertain, you could talk about that.
Yeah.
But to say it's you and your roommate is too, it's
very
manipulative.
Specific.
I would call him out. I'd be like, fuck you, man.
But that's hard because it's like, let's talk about our inner secrets, and then he says his.
But he took
it. That one is bad. I don't like that.
Good. But he also could have been like, you and I are having sex, and someone comes in.
Right. Yeah.
And I like
getting
the idea
caught
of a threesome.
Is a total fan. Yeah.
Yeah. I get all that. That's all totally fine. But when you take it to like a specific, I want it to be this person and I want it to be on a Thursday. And what are you doing on Thursday?
Yeah.
Then it's like a.
It's very specific.
And then you feel bad because you're like, shouldn't I be more fun? And shouldn't I want to do this? I think what she should do is respond, oh, I just remember what my fantasy is. It's you and I having sex, and then your roommate walks in, and then the three of us bone.
There it is.
Like, that's it. Like, I call your bluff. All right, let's do this. Who wants to go first?
With the two dudes.
Two dudes, let's. You want to see how this feels? I'll let you know how it feels. This is how it feels.
Yeah. Oh, so this
there's no way. There's no quicker way to quell the threesome desire inside a guy.
My fantasy is to fuck somebody else entirely, and you're not in the room at all. That really gets me off.
My favorite kind of threesome is me and two other dudes, actually.
And you not even watching.
I want you in the closet, and you also have headphones on and can't hear, God. And you can't
You're
see.
Playing
I
Game
want
Boy.
You to be a cuckold. I'm a cuckolding fantasy person.
It's so tough. You have to be like, have your fantasies. Don't be ashamed of what your sexual fantasies are ever. Unless they're illegal, and then come on, get some help. Mm-hmm. But don't be ashamed of those. But also kind of be aware that when you're communicating them, be aware of how it will sound
yeah.
to the other person. That's
I can
all.
Understand this dude having this fantasy.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I've got fantasies like that.
Absolutely.
But you don't articulate them to the person who, I mean...
But it's hard because you want to tell this person to be open and honest. Oh, no. And what if it's a threesome? Can he never say that?
I think that is a conversation that every couple has to explore. But I feel like the threesome conversation...
There's no, like, polite, nice way to broach
it. It's also
it.
Tough to bring up... It's one thing to bring up, I want to have a threesome because I think that will spice up our sex life. Mm-hmm. And it's another thing to bring up, I want to have a threesome with this, Kathy.
Yes.
And then you're like, I think you just want to fuck Kathy.
Exactly.
And that's not really a fantasy or a... It's
wanting to sleep with someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
And
or it is, but...
And maybe it's okay to even have it... Maybe that's a question I would respond with is like, is it cool if it's someone other... Like... And I'm just throwing this out there. What if the two of you went to a hotel, hired a prostitute, and I said to the prostitute, what I want is for you to interrupt us, walk in on us, and then we can all have sex. Because yeah. I think what trips up a lot of girls is, oh, that means he's lusting after my friend. When honestly, for a lot of the time, the guy is just like trying to think of another person.
Oh.
It's not even about that roommate. It's just about like, I want it to be another girl. How cool would that be? And maybe the girl would be more open right. to that than like... Well, now you just want to have sex with Kathy,
all right.
which I totally get. So that's what sex workers are for.
Sex workers?
Yeah. I mean, prostitutes, that's what they're for. Like, they're there for, like, to help you with fantasies, and there's no strings. No strings.
So you're pro-prostitutes?
Okay, I'm getting into a real can of worms
you're
here.
You're pro-statutes?
I don't want to...
Oh, you're definitely not anti-statutes.
As long as they're taking care of themselves and they feel good about what they're doing and they're getting paid and doing what they need to do, I do not have a problem with it.
Cool.
And I feel like that they're there to help, sometimes to help couples do stuff that's fun that, you know, doesn't involve their friend Kathy.
Have you heard of Thrinder? The Tinder
Somebody
for thruples.
On Twitter mentioned Thrinder to me the other day, and I don't know. That's what it is?
It's for singles to find couples or couples to find singles.
That's interesting. I think that's also good, too. To me, like, the less strings attached when you're talking about fantasies,
yeah,
the right. better.
I've always, like, you never want to have a threesome. I don't think you ever want to have a threesome with somebody that you all know.
Yes.
Oh, it's got to be
anonymous. It's got to be a stranger.
Yes. So, by the way,
I don't think a prostitute's going to be a very good actor. I'll just say that.
Oh, come on.
They're going to come in, oh, I caught you.
Oh, yeah. You should do like some in SAG-AFTRA.
Do it again.
Yeah,
do
or
it
have
again.
Some auditions. And then maybe reach out to Central Casting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can get an extra or someone who's been doing background work at the very
great.
Least.
Oh, that's like, nice.
What's Daphne Zuniga camera- doing right
yeah.
now?
Daphne Zuniga.
I don't know where that came
Is
from.
She camera ready?
Oh, she's ready.
Thrinder sounds like a really good option. Thrinder's a solid one.
I was reading a lady's like a Cosmo or something, and the question that the girl had asked, like wrote into that advice column was, I had a threesome, my boyfriend and I had a threesome with our pal, and the next morning I decided to run out and get everyone coffee and breakfast, and when I came back they were going at it without me. My boyfriend and my friend were going at it without me.
Ooh.
And my thought was, why the fuck did you leave the room? What's wrong with you? Go get coffee and breakfast? What in the fuck is wrong with you? Don't do that.
But
you stay in the room. You stay in the goddamn room and you get room service. But, what's wrong with you?
But if you feel so threatened to leave that your boyfriend will just start fucking this other girl, then something's wrong with your relationship. You got to trust the boy to leave him alone for 15 minutes while you get coffee.
Well, I think you got to set those parameters up ahead of time.
But if the only thing keeping him from that is that you're in the room, and that it's probably not a great relationship to start with.
I did it last time.
If you have jealous tendencies, I don't think you can have a threesome. I feel like you should, like, it's so, the line between three-way and him fucking, I don't know.
It's a tough line, but that's really what the parameters that need to be set up ahead of time. I'm all for it, even though it's not super sexy. If it's going to be a threesome, you have to set up rules ahead of time that are like, nothing without me there.
Yeah.
Like whatever rules you want to set up, you only look me in the eyes, don't look at that penis, whatever.
Don't let her make you come.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever rules you guys want to set up. And if they had set that up ahead of time, because this poor dummy boyfriend was like, I got to do it last night, I'll do it again today. Yeah. If she's not here, we'll figure it out later. Like, don't go get coffee. Put it in that situation.
Did they act like they got caught or they're like, hey, we're doing it again, come on in.
And the question, I think what she said was that they just kept going at it. And can you just picture her walking in the room with I got bagels.
Oh, that's
this sort of happened on one of our podcasts where like this dude and his girlfriend participated in an orgy. And then the guy like got started to get jealous and he left, and the girlfriend stayed in there and like continued to fuck with people. And he was very offended.
Yeah, like, it's hard. You have to keep rules.
You never want to leave the room. It's true. You don't want to leave the room.
Don't leave the room.
Because you're only setting yourself up to be really hurt.
Exactly. You got to be in together. You're either in it all the way together, or if one of you leaves, the other one probably should leave too.
It's a very dangerous thing to test people.
Oh, sure.
Especially.
Oh, yeah.
There was just a and this is bringing it real down, but there was a story about this murder-suicide that happened, or attempted murder-suicide that happened at Yale last year.
Which where part a guy was not successful?
The guy stabbed a guy in the neck, but did not kill him, and then jumped to his death. And they were like, what happened? They seemed to be friends. What was going on? And there was a girl in the room. They'd been having a threesome, and he got upset that his girlfriend was like really enjoying this other guy too much. So he stabbed the guy in the neck and then jumped. His death.
That's insane to like decide to do it like that moment. Like, yeah. Unless he was thinking of that the whole time.
I don't know. But I'm like, well, that's the worst case scenario. And the poor girl, by the way, was like, oh my God.
Holy shit.
At least she lucked out and the murderer died.
I suppose that's true.
That'd be funny if the guy survived and then he jumped out of the window, just broke his legs. And like,
well,
what the hell was that, Ron?
Sorry, man.
You tried to kill me.
I tried to kill me too.
That's so fucked, dude.
Don't ever let a girl do that to you guys. Well, not even the girl's fault. Clearly, the girl was like, I'm totally fine. I'm doing fine. They had their own issues, clearly.
Right. One second I'm being Eiffel Towered, and then the next.
The next it's just a T-bone.
Poor thing. Poor guy that died. Poor guy that got injured. Yeah. And the two survivors are still at Yale. They didn't release their names, but they're still there.
Going to Yale.
Pistol wave in New Haven. Yeah. Represent, man. Born and bred.
When was the next?
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Jake was the guy that was stabbed.
Oh, cool.
I was the girl.
When was like the first test they took after that? Like, how do you like, all right, shake it off.
Yeah.
Accounting. Come on.
Got to get in here. Got to get in. My brain's working. Cannot imagine.
Can I ask you a general therapy question?
Sure.
Since we're running low on time.
Sure.
But I want to squeeze some more answers out of you. Therapy for everybody, or like, would you recommend it for literally everybody?
Honestly, yeah, I think I would. I think it's to me, if you're in a good place, it's like a spa day a little bit. It's like a massage or something. Like, you're doing a thing to take care of yourself, and like, so you don't get any other relationships in the world where you get to, it's all about you.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be like that in any other relationship, but this is a relationship. It's not about the therapist. You don't get to hear about their life. You don't care about their life. You shouldn't. But like, they're just there to listen to you, whatever you have to say. So if you're in a good place, it's just that. It's just me time, basically. But if you're not in a great place, it's good to kind of help you find the skills you need to move into a good place. So I do think it's for everybody.
All right. So I've never done therapy.
Oh, it's super fun. You should do it. Well, not always fun, but
I always say like I would do it if somebody made the appointment for me and I just had to go.
Is there an app like Therapy Uber?
Yeah, Thuber. Is there a Thrinder for therapists?
By the way, we should totally start that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really great idea. Down?
Like, someone just comes to your house.
Oh, my
God.
And
then for like 45 minutes, and then you leave. Should we cut this part out so that we can save this idea?
That poor therapist, though, because what if it's a rough situation and then you're like in someone's house? So that's creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think of Postmates, but instead of Chipotle, it's mental health.
I don't hate that idea.
You still get guacamole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still get guacamole. Just like a little, you've done well today.
Do therapists go to therapy?
I did. And in my program, we were required to go through therapy while we were in school.
Are you more conscious of like, wow, this person's not a good therapist?
Yeah. But I think it's also like, it's just like any relationship. It's less about like how much training they have and what their like approach is, and more like, do you get along with this person when you sit down across from them? That's it.
So it takes two.
Somebody
is a good therapist to somebody and a bad therapist to another.
And I always tell people, audition therapists. If you go in to see a therapist and you feel judged and they think that you're a bad person, like anything feels off, you're going to feel uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable at first to talk about yourself to a stranger. But if you're feeling like this is not working and you don't ever want to talk to them about your stuff, don't keep going. I know a lot of people, they're like, that's my therapist, so I have to go.
Power through.
Yeah, there's tons of them. Literally hundreds of thousands of therapists. So don't see that one again. Try another one if you're feeling
so what's judged. The easiest way for me to find a therapist?
I really like Psychology Today, which is an oddly amazing magazine. It shouldn't be as great as it is, but it's like amazing. They have on their website a thing called a therapist finder, and you put in your zip code and then you can put in insurance stuff, and you can also like just find therapists that are nearby. I tell people, if you're like a liberal kind of person, I always look for people that work with gay and lesbian populations, because even though I'm not, to me, it signals this is a person with an open mind that kind of their values might reflect mine.
And if I'm looking for someone who would absolutely no way try to help these hedonists.
You can do that too.
You're a Trump supporter.
Yeah. You
is there
find
a filter? A filter by this guy doesn't speak to gays? How do you even find that out?
Pro wall.
Do you talk to gay people too? I am gay, but
Not into it. You can look for like religious people. They have a lot of caveats, and it's all in how the therapist described themselves.
So there actually are they categorize themselves.
A little bit. Because if you're a religious therapist, which they absolutely exist, you probably don't want to see someone who's like an atheist. Who's
yeah.
Like,
I would fucking go see the therapist just to like make them real uncomfortable.
Those
folks deserve to be thrown off a little bit.
Maybe so. Maybe
switch
so.
It up.
The boat, baby. So I was getting railed out by these 9 dudes, and
okay, sounds great.
Oh no, yeah, it was great. It was fucking dope.
Anyway, have you thought about the Lord?
Yeah, Jesus is hot. I would let him fuck me.
But that's what some people want, and that's available too. But I really like. I think their site is very clearly laid out, and there's good people on it. I'd recommend that.
Friends therapist, is that a weird no-no? Or are you fine with that? If all my friends go to one
you
therapist.
You just want her to give you therapy.
is this therapy?
Do you want me to leave the room?
I think it's fine to go to someone all your friends go to. I maybe wouldn't go to the same person like your significant other goes to.
Right.
Just because that's like, it just gets a little weird. But some people do that, but I personally would not do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Psychologist today.
Psychology Today.
Holy shit.
And they have a thing called Therapist Finder, and it's great. And it also can put in sliding scale, which is an option, which means that instead of going through insurance, you just pay out of pocket, but you pay based on what you make, which is good for maybe some of your listeners that don't only have a small chunk of change.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else?
Real advice.
Yeah. So much real. For things actually got real.
The threesome girl, I think she should find out. I just want to finish up there because I feel like we bailed on her. Uh-huh. And she needs to decide if she actually wants to have a threesome and entertain the fetish, right?
She doesn't.
Yes, in general.
In general. And I don't know. I think it's okay to call him out for if his fetish or his fantasy made her feel shitty.
Yeah, you want to be completely honest. And then you could say, oh, I'm down to do this, but this part made me uncomfortable.
If you are down to do it.
Or if you're even down to just, like, she might just be down to sext about a threesome type
thing. Ooh, that's a fun time. Sext about it, but never do it.
Yeah, just like to live out the fantasy a little bit, but, you know, not to do it with the roommate because you don't feel like that's sort of cultivating a weird relationship.
I like that idea. I also feel like girls now are expected to just be like totally down with everything. Anal on the first date. You don't have
wait to the second date for anal. Yeah. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Is that what the back cover of your book reads?
Yeah. It's around my quotes. And I think it's true for dudes too. I think dudes are expected to just like want threesomes immediately, want anal immediately. Like it's okay to like sex on just sex. Totally great. Just fondling and not even having sex, totally great. You don't have to do all the things all the time.
Nothing's wrong with missionary. This is the religious psychiatrist.
You're still the religious therapist.
Cool. Emily, Gordon.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you guys.
Great job.
This was great. You have great, your listeners have great questions.
We should have you back because there's so many more questions that need your wisdom.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And if you have your own questions for Emily, but mostly for me, Jay, because do you want to be replaced, Jay?
Is this crazy?
Wait a second. Wait, he gave great advice. If anybody's getting replaced.
No, you need a host.
It's me, Emily, and Aus. He knows how to record shit.
If you have your own questions for us, it's ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thank you to Aus for recording the opening theme song. And Emily, what's your Twitter or Tumblr or whatever you want people to... How do people find you?
I'm at Twitter. I'm The Gynamite.
Wow, great name.
I know. If I thought about it when I signed up years ago, I maybe would have maybe done something closer to my own name. It's THEGYNOMITE, Gynamite.
Nice.
And Tumblr, I'm at emilyvgordon.tumblr.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And this closing theme song is by Shane McInerney and his accomplice in rhyme, Donald Considine. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Bye.
We had an idea to write the short song here about the
these two guys, I see through the lies, believe me. Jake is the first one, he's awfully handsome. He fucks and he cheats, half the time he's asleep, it's awesome. If you have an issue, send it into these two handsome Jews. Cause Jake and Amir, the God that you'll hear, to solve all our problems, make us all cheer. And it's if I were you, show gmail.com. But don't die. If I were you, show gmail.com. Punish me well now, get over Jake now, yeah. He gives great advice even though he's not nice to you. If you're in a pickle,
if you're in a pickle,
they may provide a laugh and a tickle. Cause Jake and Amir, the God that you're here, solve all our problems and make us all cheer. And it's if I were you, show gmail.com. But don't talk. If I were you, show gmail.com.
See that cheese?
Fucking shit.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.